What is the best dental practice to buy? Should you buy a practice that has a high revenue but also a high purchase price? Should you buy a practice that has low revenue but that means a lower purchase price? Should you buy a practice that is big or should you buy a practice that's small? Should you buy a practice with a lot of operatories? Should you buy a practice that's more of a growth opportunity? What type of dental practices are actually worth buying and what type of practice is going to be the most profitable for you? My name is Chris. I'm a dentist. I've been a practice owner myself, and I help dentists buy dental practices. If you just want a quick summary, I'll give it to you now. You don't have to listen to the rest of the video if you don't want to. Buy a practice with a lot of patients. There you go. That's the very basic, the basic outline. So here's an example of two dental practices. One is producing $1 million per year. The second one is producing $1 million a year. Each of them have the same expenses and the same income. We're talking $1 million in revenue, $500,000 in expenses, $500,000 in profit, both practices. You show this to an accountant, they're gonna say, all the practices are equal, they're equivalent. They both are $1 million in revenue, both $1 million in, both have $1 million in revenue, both have $500,000 in profit. They're equivalent, pick which one you like. But something the accountant missed. Practice number one, 1,000 active patients. Practice number two, 2,000 active patients. In practice one, the seller is producing $1,000 per patient per year. In practice number two, the seller is producing $500 per patient per year because there's twice as many patients, but revenue is the same. Which practice should you buy? Obviously, if you look at it from that angle, the obvious choice is the one with 2,000 patients, but your accountant friend didn't tell you about that because accountants don't know to even look at that. If you ask a practice broker how many active patients there are, they're gonna give you some made up number. Do not trust the numbers that practice brokers give you for active patients because there are so many different ways to calculate what an active patient is. Sometimes they'll have an export from the practice management software that says, well, this practice saw 10,000 patients. And then you go in and you look and it's like, yeah, there were 10,000 appointments since this practice had started. That's not helpful. Sometimes you'll see one, oh, 4,000 patients. Yeah, there were 4,000 appointments in the last 3 years. But a lot of those appointments were the same patient coming more than one time. Sometimes you'll see active patients. This isn't appointments. This is the number of patients that have been seen. But it'll be like over the last year and a half, and it'll include patients who just came in for an emergency toothache or whatever, patients that just came in and are no longer there at the practice. I don't care if a year and a half ago some patient came in because their tooth was hurting. That's irrelevant to me as a buyer. I care how many patients are actively on the recall schedule. So when I'm looking at active recall patients, I'm looking at how many patients are on the schedule to come back to see a hygienist after I buy the practice? How many patients are going to show up that I can treatment plan on? That's what I care about as a buyer. Now, there are a bunch of different ways that you can calculate this number, and you're going to have to use all of them. You're going to have to use multiple different methods to try to calculate this number. When you're spending $1 million on a dental practice, you better make sure in as many ways possible that you're verifying the information here. If you are interested in a broad overview of how the process works, I do have a free download. You can check it out in the description, the practice evaluation checklist. You can go to my website, download that for free. You download that and it's going to give you an overview of how to get started evaluating practices. Now, of course, if you're looking for more additional help, actual customized to you, reach out. I work with dentists. I help dentists buy dental practices. This is what I do full time. I helped over 50 dentists last year through my entire process, close on practices. I'm on track to do significantly more than that this year. There's a lot of dentists buying practices right now. You want to make sure that you're in the top 10% of those. If you work with me, I'm going to make sure you're in the top 10% of those. There are a lot of practices out there that are not worth buying. You want to make sure that you are buying the right practice. If you buy the right practice, one of the best decisions that you're ever going to make. You buy the wrong practice, one of the worst decisions. So once you calculate out how many active patients there are at this practice, the next thing you want to determine is how conservative or aggressively is the seller treatment planning at this practice? If a practice has 1,000 active patients and the revenue last year was $500,000, that means the seller is only treatment planning about $500 per patient per year. Or better worded, that patients are accepting and going forward with $500 of treatment per patient per year. I want you to think about that just for a little bit. Let's say a patient is coming back twice a year for their cleanings and x-rays. That alone might be $300. And so we're talking $300 to $400 maybe is going to cleanings and x-rays and exam fees. That means like $100 to $200 on treatment. One crown $1,000, you do a build up, it's $1,200, $1,300. That means if you only need to produce $100 to $200 per patient, that means you do one crown per every six or seven patients. That's all you do. There are dentists who they are literally doing exams. They're just sitting down and saying, hey, patient, how's it going? And doing basically no work. I spoke to a dentist recently selling his practice, and we went through his computers, and there was just so much undiagnosed dentistry. We asked him about his diagnosis process, how he does his treatment planning. He said, I used to be more comprehensive in my planning. The reality is I'm just too busy and too tired. So I only do work on patients who are complaining about their tooth hurting. If you have to wait until the tooth is hurting to have something diagnosed, that's way too far into the process. Obviously, decay starts way before the tooth starts hurting. Cracks, restorations that need to be replaced. And that's not even getting into the cosmetic stuff, Invisalign, implants to fill in edentulous sites. There was so much undiagnosed dentistry at this practice. I think it was something like he was doing $350 per patient per year. That is so crazy low. Remember, we said exam fees alone and pro fees are like $300. So that means like $50 of dentistry per patient per year. Absolutely nothing. The average I see for buyers when they buy a practice, they're typically able to produce about $1,000 per patient. That's average. Some are a little bit higher, some are a little bit lower. It's going to depend on insurance reimbursement rates. It's going to depend on what area of the country you're in. It's going to depend on you as a buyer. Are you able to bring in implants? Are you able to bring in Invisalign, additional procedures? It's going to be a little bit higher. If you're conservative and don't want to do additional stuff, it's going to be low. The thing is, as long as you know who you are and how you want a treatment plan, you can buy a practice that works. There are some very, very successful dentists. I know dentists who have income, take-home pay of over $1 million that don't place implants. You don't have to place implants to be successful if you don't want to. So calculate how many patients there are. Remember how many active recall patients there are in the schedule. We're not using the broker's inflated number from the practice management system. You need to be going into the production reports and actually calculating how many active patients there are. You need to be going into the schedule and actually counting how many active patients there are to verify that the schedule matches the production reports, matches the exports from the practice management software. Everything needs to match. You need to figure out this. Then figure out what revenue was and divide it out. How much revenue was generated per patient? Oftentimes I will do this with clients and we'll get to a number and it's like $2,500 per patient. Wow, that's a lot. That is a lot of money. You as a new buyer are almost certainly not going to be able to replicate that. Now, sometimes this is done ethically through maybe they're doing a lot of advanced cosmetic stuff, but sometimes dentists are able to get that number higher because they're being a little bit unethical. They're treatment planning too aggressively. They're doing fillings, they're doing crowns, they're doing treatment where it wasn't really needed. Or maybe they're, instead of doing a occlusal composite, they just say, well, let's put a crown on that tooth. Yeah, you make more revenue, but that's not ethical. And it's something that you as a buyer are probably not gonna wanna replicate once you take over the office. Back to the main question, what's the best practice to buy? The best practice to buy is one where there are a lot of active patients and the seller's revenue per patient is as low as possible. So should you be buying a big practice or a small practice, one with a high revenue or a low revenue, one that was very profitable and not profitable? You need to look at those things. But honestly, that's not enough information. You can't just look at the revenue for an office and determine if it's worth buying. I have a lot of clients that will send me a few documents. They'll send me like a broker prospectus or something. It'll show the revenue, it'll show the income, and it'll give you a little bit of information and say, hey, is this a practice that's worth buying? And I tell them, I don't know. There's no way I could know based on this. You just gave me a tax return. How am I supposed to know from a tax return if this practice is worth buying? That's not enough information. When I evaluate practices, we go into so much more depth than just looking at tax returns. Oftentimes I hear from people that say, an accountant told me this practice was worth buying. Accountants are great for taxes. You need to hire an accountant to do your taxes for you. But accountants don't necessarily understand how dental practices are run and don't necessarily know how to evaluate dental practices properly for you as a buyer. You just gave an accountant a tax return. They didn't have enough information. Even if this accountant knew how to run a dental practice, knew all the details, they didn't even have enough information. So if I were to prescribe the absolute perfect practice for you as a buyer, here's what I would say. First off, figure out where you want to live. Because if you have to move somewhere that you don't want to live, it's not the right practice for you. If you like living in a city, don't buy a rural practice. If you want to live in California, don't buy a practice in Montana. If you want to live in Florida, don't buy a practice in Connecticut. It's obvious, but I have some buyers that say, well, I really want to live here. My family's here. This is where I want to be long-term, but I saw this practice in Texas. Should I move out there? No, No, do not move for a practice unless, if you don't know where you want to live and you're happy to go anywhere, then sure, you can find some great opportunities. But first and foremost, you need to make sure that you're going to be happy there. The next quick thing to look at is how many hygienists are at this practice. If the practice does not have hygienists, there's probably not enough active patients. There's just no way that a dentist is going to be able to see 2,000 patients, also treatment plan on them, also do good quality work. It's just not going to happen. If a practice is big enough to be profitable for you as a buyer, it's going to need to have hygienists, ideally two or three. One, maybe, but ideally two or three. Now, if you're going to have two to three hygienists and you're going to have enough chairs for you to do treatment, you're going to need at least five or six operatories. If you're looking at a practice that only has three operatories, it better be incredibly compelling. You're going to struggle in there. You will not have enough operatories for hygienists and for you to do treatment. You're trying to find a practice that has at least five, ideally six operatories if you're going to be working as a solo doctor. If you want to have an associate in there later, then you probably need another two or three operatories. So we're talking eight or nine. If you only have three, maybe even just four, you can maybe make it work, but you're going to make your life so much easier if you can find one that has more operatories. Number of patients. As a solo dentist, you need to have at least 1,000 patients to really be profitable. You're going to be even better if you have more. So we're talking like 1,500, maybe up to 2,000. Once you start getting above 2,000 active recall patients, you're going to be a little bit too busy and have a hard time keeping up with treatment planning and doing the treatment. That's usually when you start to get to the point where you want to have a group practice, but that's going to depend on you as a buyer. I can't just give blanket recommendations on a YouTube video or a podcast because there are so many different buyers, different personalities. Some people are happy seeing five or six patients a day, making $300,000 a year, working 3 days a week, having a great lifestyle, a great income. That's perfect. Others, on the other hand, they want to make $1 million. They want to be working 5 days a week. They want to see 40 patients a day. Look, you need to figure out who you are. If you like that high volume dentistry, great. You can be incredibly profitable. Especially if you like high volume dentistry and you're working at an associate job, think about all the money you're giving up. I have some associates. They come to me and they say, hey, doc, I'm doing pretty good at my associate job. I made $500,000 last year. I'm like, why would I become an owner? I made $500,000 at my associate job last year. And I ask them, well, how much did you produce? And we find out that they're producing $2 million and they're only keeping $500,000. That's a fourth of their production. Now, keep in mind, once you get to a point where you're producing $2 million at a practice, it's not uncommon for you to get your overhead down to 50% or lower, sometimes as low as 40%. If you can produce $2 million as an owner, you could potentially be taking home $1 million or more. We're talking double what they were making at the other office. As an associate, you're making $500,000, but you are also giving away $500,000 of profit to your boss, to whatever corporate shareholders own this DSO that you're working at. If you're gonna work that hard, you might as well keep the money for yourself. If you don't wanna work that hard, you don't have to. A broad rule of thumb is if you go from being an associate to being an owner, you can either work the same amount you're working at your associate job and make twice as much, or you can make the same amount of money you were making at your associate job and work half as much. Both are great, or you can meet somewhere in the middle. It's up to you. But why would you stay at an associate job where you're working so hard and only keeping 25% of your production? Why don't you go somewhere where you can keep 50% of your production? In summary, you need to first figure out what your goals are. What do you want out of practice ownership? What are you looking for? And then you need to find a practice that's going to have enough patients to help you meet that goal. That's it. However, once you actually start reaching out to practice brokers, you're going to realize it's kind of confusing to actually know what a practice is. The practice broker is sending these documents, and it's incredibly confusing. Look, I've looked at 500 dental practices over the last few years, and even I am still sometimes confused with what brokers send. And I often have to ask for clarifications. Hey, you said this in this document. Oftentimes, they'll send documents. One document will say one thing, and one will say a completely different thing. And we have to ask for clarification. You need to be very careful when you look at dental practices because the documents are not always consistent. Sometimes things are sent to you incorrectly. Sometimes the dates, the numbers are entered incorrectly. You need to be extremely careful. It is not as easy as just saying, hey, how many active patients are there, Mr. Practice Broker? And the practice broker tells you there are 2,000 patients at this practice. It's not going to work out that way. The practice broker is incentivized to sell this practice for as much as possible. They're getting paid something like a 10% commission on that sales price. They're going to do everything they can to convince you this practice is right for you. You need to have someone on your side that is independently evaluating whether this is the right practice for you. If you are looking for that type of independent support, my fee is in no way tied to how much the dental practice sells for. It is my incentive, my goal, to help you negotiate down that price as much as possible and to make sure that you are buying the right office that is the right fit for you as a buyer. If you're interested in working together, reach out. You can find my information in the description below. Check out my free download, the Practice Evaluation Checklist. It gives you a great overview of what things you should look for when you're evaluating a practice. I wish you the best of luck as you look at dental practices. Remember, buying a dental practice is either going to be one of the best decisions you've ever made or one of the worst decisions you've ever made. The question is which practice you buy. So make sure if you are going to buy a practice, you're buying the right practice.